Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're a guest with us, we've been working verse by verse through this book. We've come to the last chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse number 4, and I want to speak for a few minutes this morning on this subject, children of the day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 to 11. And this is what the Word of God says. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. There are only two kinds of people in the world: morning people and night people. There are those who get out of bed ready to seize the day, and there are those who don't really know it's morning until the third cup of coffee. Spiritually speaking, there are also only two kinds of people: those who are of the light and those who are of the day. Those who are of light and daytime, those who are of darkness and night. Those who are believers and those who are unbelievers. Those who love God and those who hate God. Those who will live with the Lord in heaven for all eternity, and those who will be separated from the Lord for all eternity. In this passage that we've just read together this morning, the Apostle Paul contrasts people of darkness and the night with people of light and the day. And Paul's purpose in making this contrast between believers and unbelievers was to bring comfort and encouragement to the Thessalonian church. Despite all of the teaching that Paul had given them while he lived among them, the Thessalonians were still worried about the future and what was going to happen. Their fears, along with the influence of false teachers who had crept into the church and were attempting to deceive them, left these new believers confused and full of questions. They had questions, as we've already seen, about what happened to their deceased loved ones. And now we see that they have questions concerning the day of the Lord and the end of the world, when God will send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring full and final judgment on the earth. And as a result, the Apostle Paul writes to these troubled believers to address their concerns and their confusion and to bring them comfort and encouragement. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives these believers a multifaceted description between the distinction of believers and unbelievers and the implication that this has concerning the day of the Lord. And by doing this, he makes it clear to the Thessalonian believers and to us that their fears concerning the day of the Lord were groundless. Believers, he will show us in this passage, are children of the day. They are children of light. They are not of the night. They are not of darkness. And therefore, they will not experience the wrath of God in the day of the Lord. Friends, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the most phenomenal event that man has ever seen and witnessed in all of human history. And its importance cannot be overstressed. For when Christ returns, he will return with both blessing and judgment. Blessing for the believer, unrestrained wrath and judgment for the unbeliever. And in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul helps the Thessalonian believers and us see how we should live in light of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do this, he makes a stark contrast between light and darkness, between day and night, between believers and unbelievers. And he gives five exhortations that believers are to follow as they wait for the day of the Lord. With that in mind, let me give you these exhortations this morning and say a few words about them. And I pray that God would use me by his Spirit to be an encouragement and strength and source of hope to all of us this morning through this passage. The first thing that he tells us is that we are not to be surprised in verses 4 and 5. Paul says, "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." The very first two words, that phrase, "but you," introduces a contrast that will remain throughout the remainder of this passage of Scripture. It's a contrast between verse 3, where Paul uses the language of they and them to refer to the unbelievers who are ignorant of future events and will be surprised by the day of the Lord, with the Thessalonian believers in verse 4, who should be living in light and in expectation of the day of the Lord. And you'll also notice in verse number 4 that Paul uses the word brothers to further emphasize this contrast that he is making. And with the use of all of this language, Paul is teaching the Thessalonian believers, and he's teaching us, that because we are God's children, we are not in darkness. We do not belong to the night. And because we are not in darkness and because we do not belong to the night, we will not experience the day of the Lord. He's teaching them and he's teaching us that believers possess an entirely different nature and sphere of living than the unbelievers around them. He describes in verse number 4 and 5 the sphere in which unbelievers live. And he uses it with the word darkness. This word describes a separation from God and an ignorance of the things of God. And it refers to those who are spiritually blind and ignorant and unaware of God and his word. The Apostle Paul used similar language when he was writing to the believers in Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 18, he described unbelievers as being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the very hardness of their heart. And let's be clear this morning, that for those who are not believers in Christ, those who do not know Christ as their Savior, you are living in darkness. You are alienated from life in God. And you are living in darkness because you are living in ignorance of God and of His Word. And the reason for all of that is because your heart is hardened to God and the things of His kingdom. That spiritual night and spiritual darkness engulf the unbeliever both intellectually and morally. It is the intellectual darkness of ignorance on the one hand, and it is moral darkness of sin on the other. It is the darkness of not knowing and discerning and understanding what is true, and it is the darkness of refusing to do what is right. It is darkness intellectually and darkness morally. But you'll notice in verses 4 and 5 that Paul uses the word but to make this contrast. And he says, but Thessalonian believers, your nature is different from unbelievers. Your nature is not one of darkness and ignorance and night. Your nature is not one of sin and rebellion. Therefore, because you have a different nature, because you live in a different realm of life, you do not have to be surprised concerning the day of the Lord that it would come upon you like a thief in the night. Why? Because you're children of light. You're children of the day. You're not living in spiritual darkness and night. Your eyes have been opened to see the light of the glory of God through the face of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your nature has been changed from darkness to light. And as a result, you are children of light. You are children of the day. Now this phrase, children of, in verses 4 and 5 that Paul uses, really comes from a Hebrew expression that describes the dominant influence in a person's life. Let me explain to you how it's used in the Bible. In the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 19 and verse 22, the Bible uses the phrase sons of Belial or children of Belial to describe worthless men who are by nature children of the devil. In the New Testament, Jesus nicknamed James and John sons of thunder or children of thunder because of their volatile, aggressive personalities. And in the book of Acts, Barnabas is described as a son of encouragement or a child of encouragement, denoting his gentle, encouraging nature. And so when Paul describes believers as children of light and children of the day, he is saying that the light of God is the dominant influence in a believer's life. That light belongs to the day just as darkness belongs to the night. And unless you are confused by this, he makes it emphatically, unmistakably clear at the end of verse 5. And he says to the believers, you are not of the night or of the darkness. You are children of the day. It is exactly the language that Peter used in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 to describe what God had done to the believers who had been dispersed in Peter's day, when he says that God has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is Paul's point this morning. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has taken you from unbelief to belief. He has taken you from spiritual deadness to spiritual life. He has taken you from unrighteous living to righteous living. He has taken you from spiritual darkness and night, and He has brought you into spiritual light and life. And as children of the light and children of the day, we are to walk in the newness of life. We are to see ourselves as new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to see ourselves as new creations from Christ. We are to see ourselves as seated in the heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to see our very lives as hidden with Christ in God. And the point of all of this is that as believers, we live in a different sphere of life than unbelievers because the light of God has changed our perspective. And isn't that exactly what light does? It changes our perspective. Now, let me ask the kids a question. All right, kids, this is participation time in the sermon. How many of you have a nightlight in your room? Awesome. See all those hands? Awesome. Do you know that not long ago, Miss Gretchen thought that I needed help, and she got me a nightlight? And I'm telling you that the nightlight was a game changer, because she got tired of hearing me stumble in the darkness through the middle of the night, going to the bathroom and running into the furniture and putting my hands on the wall. And so really, she gave me a nightlight, not for me, but really for her, so I wouldn't wake her up, right? But do you know what I found, kids? That nightlight is a game changer, because as soon as I get out of bed, there is a little light that is lighting the path through the bedroom to the hallway, and it changed my perspective. I don't have to feel around for furniture anymore. I don't have to trip over things that are on the floor. I can make it to my destination safely because the light changed the perspective. And you see, friends, that's Paul's point. As believers, we've been taken out of darkness into light, and we're to live in the light as we see the day of the Lord approaching, because the light of the glory of God through the face of Jesus Christ changes our perspective. And because it changes our perspective, we should not be surprised by what we see going on around us. We're no longer in darkness. We're no longer in ignorance. God has given us the ability through His Son and through His Spirit to help us discern the days in which we are living. And unbelievers, on the other hand, they can't see it. They're blinded. They're in darkness. They're in ignorance. Their hearts are hardened. They can't see it. And listen, friends, they don't want to see it, because they've not been changed. What about you? Can you see it? Do you see the day of the Lord approaching? Can you discern the times in which we're living? Or will you find yourself surprised when that day arrives? Teenagers and young adults who may think that you have your whole life ahead of you, what do you do with a passage of Scripture like this? What do you do with a passage of Scripture like this that gives you a clear warning, and it confronts you in your belief that you've got plenty of time to deal with Christ? Because the reality is, you don't have plenty of time to deal with Christ. You have no idea when the Lord is going to return. Can't you see it? Don't you have a burden from this passage of Scripture? Can't you see, friend, that God, in His grace, in His mercy, in His sovereignty, in His providential working in your life, has allowed you to be in this church, in this pew, at this very moment, at home, watching TV, listening to this service, at this very moment, on this very passage of Scripture, as a grace and a mercy to you to get your attention so you would not be surprised by that day? Can't you see that? Or are you blinded by the darkness? Will you hear and heed the warning that Paul is giving us through this passage today to turn to Christ and to trust in Him? Or will you remain surprised and in darkness when the Lord returns? Well, not only are children of the day not to be surprised, Paul tells us in verses 6 and 7 that they are not to be sleepy. Look at what he says. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. In verses 6 and 7, Paul continues his contrast between believers and unbelievers. And he describes unbelievers as those who sleep and get drunk, and they're unaware of the danger that is coming upon them. And in contrast to that, believers are to keep awake and they're to be sober. As he'll tell us in verse number 8, they're to be like a soldier armed for battle, keenly aware of the danger that is about to come upon the world. The phrase, so then, at the beginning of verse 6, emphasizes the inseparable link between the character of a Christian and their conduct. And in these verses, Paul is exhorting the Thessalonians and us to live according to our nature as children of light, as children of the day, as Christians. And he uses present tense language all throughout verse 6 and all throughout verse 7 to indicate that as children of the day, we are to be continuously awake, we are to be continuously alert, and we are to continuously be sober-minded. This is exactly the language that the Lord Jesus Christ used when he spoke to his disciples of end time events. And in Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37, in this one passage of scripture, Jesus uses the phrase, keep awake, four different times. Listen to what he said. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, and when he leaves home and he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and he commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Now you'll notice in this passage that Paul is emphasizing the same thing that Jesus emphasized to his disciples, the need to stay awake and to be spiritually alert. And he uses the metaphor of sleep to describe how the unbelieving world views God. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying that God is sounding the sirens. He is issuing the warnings throughout all the earth of impending judgment. And while God is issuing all of these warnings, the unbelieving world yawns and takes a nap. They're asleep. And the word sleep that he uses here in verses 6 and 7 refers to spiritual sleep, moral laxity, indifference, and carelessness about spiritual matters. It's really as if you're living your life in such a way that you believe that final judgment will never happen. You're asleep. And the Apostle Paul makes it clear in these verses that there is no place for nightlife among children of the day. We are of the light. We are of the day. We are not of night. We are not of darkness. And therefore, we should not live our lives as if we were still unbelievers, spiritually asleep. We are to live in light of who and what we are because of Christ. And this is the same message that the Apostle Paul gave the Romans. In Romans chapter 13, verses 12 to 14, this is what he said to them. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. To live in the daytime. And Paul is teaching us that though it is not possible for the children of the day to experience the wrath of the Lord on the day of the Lord, it is possible, listen friends, it is possible for believers to grow spiritually sleepy, to become dull, and to become complacent in their walk with the Lord. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Simple, friends. If it weren't possible, Paul wouldn't have addressed it in these verses. Why do you think he is making the contrast? He is reminding the Thessalonian believers, and he is reminding you and me that because we are children of the day and children of the light, we are to live differently from the world. We are not to allow ourselves to become spiritually sleepy. We are not to allow ourselves to become dull. And we are not to allow ourselves to become complacent. For when a believer is spiritually asleep, he's not alert to God or to the things of God. And they'll be caught off guard. They won't understand and discern the times in which they're living. And they'll be surprised at the events of the Lord. That's the point that he is making here, friends. And I think he's making another point in verses 6 and 7. It's not only possible for believers to become spiritually sleepy, it is possible for believers to become undisciplined, to cast off restraints, and to find themselves living in woeful, unrepentant sin. It is highly possible for believers to find themselves in that condition. And what Paul wants the Thessalonian believers to understand, and what he wants you and I to understand, is that God has not saved us and brought us into the light and made us children of day, listen friends, so that we sleep our lives away. That is not the point of your redemption. The point of your redemption is to live the light of Christ to an unbelieving world. And he's saying that it's really, really hard to do that if you are living as a believer the same way the world lives. Because you're not of the night. You're not of darkness. You're of light and you are of the day. You're not to live in sleepiness and laziness and casting off restraints. You are to live in discipline and in self-control and remaining sober-minded in your living. You are not to be sleepy. Do you see what he says in the text? You're to keep awake. Same phrase that Jesus used. It means to be alert. Means to live with your eyes open. It means to be sane and steady. What a good word for these days. To be sane and to be steady. To keep awake. To be able to assess what is going on around you from a biblical perspective, to stay alert to it and to be sane to it and steady in it. It's to plod. It's to get up tomorrow and be faithful like you were today. It's to get up Tuesday and be faithful again. It is to get up Wednesday and to be faithful again. It is not to be up and down and all around and be all over the map. It is to be alert, awake, sane, steady, for the glory of God, in the midst of the times that you find yourselves living in. You're alert to it. You're awake to it. When everyone else is losing their mind, You are at peace because the light of Christ has changed your perspective. And you're not sleepy. Vance Havner said, "This is a day of anarchy in the world, apostasy in the professing church, and apathy in the true church. We are not meant to be spiritual Rip Van Winkles, sleeping saints. There is no room for apathy. There is no room for laziness. There is no room for complacency in God's kingdom of light. We need to snap out of our comatose lethargy and be liberated from a couldn't care less attitude. This is not the time for us as believers to be resting on our laurels." End quote. And that statement was made decades ago. And it's true for you and I today. We are to keep awake. And then notice what else he says in verses 6 and 7. We're to be sober. It literally means to be free from the influence of intoxicants. A sober person is a person of self-control. A sober person is a person who lives a serious and balanced, calm, steady life. A sober person is a person who maintains proper priorities. Alert, awake, sober, self-controlled. William Hendrickson says, "The sober person lives deeply. His pleasures are not primarily those of the senses, like the pleasures of the drunkard, for instance, but his pleasures are those of the soul. He is by no means a stoic. On the contrary, with a full measure of joyful anticipation, he looks forward to the return of the Lord, but he does not run away from his task. He's sober. He's self-controlled. The apostle's exhortation then amounts to this," he says, "Let us not be lax and unprepared, but let us be prepared, being spiritually alert, firm in the faith, courageous, strong, calmly, but with glad anticipation, looking forward to the future day. Let us, moreover, do all of this because we belong to the day and we do not belong to the night." End quote. Keep awake. Sober. Don't be sleepy. Don't be surprised by what's going on around you. Here's the reality this morning, friends. Some of us as believers need to hear and heed this instruction. If we were honest with ourselves this morning in this room, downstairs in the fellowship hall, at home in your living room, some of us have fallen asleep spiritually. We're not awake to God or to the things of His kingdom. Our worship of God has changed. We don't come to worship. We don't worship with enthusiasm and excitement and joy as we once did. Our prayer life has waned. Our fellowship with God and with brothers and sisters in Christ has been diminished. We've put it to the side. We've relegated it to the shelf. We find ourselves not anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us find ourselves this morning not active in serving God, but active in complaining about everything. And we have to stop and ask ourselves the question, does this describe me? Have I fallen prey to what Paul is warning about in this passage of Scripture? Have I fallen asleep? Am I coasting? The days in which you and I find ourselves living is not a day for coasting. It's not a day for sleeping. It's not a day for being casual about anything when it comes to God and the things of His kingdom. There is a sense of urgency that this passage of Scripture demands upon our lives, upon our thinking, and upon our souls. And the events of this past year and the events already in this new year have changed some of us. We're not where we used to be spiritually. We have drifted. And here's the sad reality. Some of us may not even be aware of the drift. You are telling yourself that you are okay and everything is the same when everything in your spiritual life has changed. And it's not changed for the better. Sober, awake, alert. Other believers have a desperate need to hear and heed this warning. Because there's some of us in this room, there's some of us downstairs in the fellowship hall, there is some of us at home in our living rooms who have become undisciplined. We've lost self-control. We've cast off restraints. We've isolated ourselves and we have allowed sin to take root in certain areas of our life and to go unchecked and unrepented of. And I think that we are all smart, intelligent people in this room, downstairs, and at home. And just by making that statement, I'm confident that the Holy Spirit of God has brought sin issues to people's hearts. Some of us have isolated ourselves so much, we have done things on the computer, we have done things on our phone, we have treated people certain ways and never asked for forgiveness and never restored relationships. We've allowed sin to run rampant because we've been asleep and we've not dealt with it. And then we wonder why we find ourselves where we are. It's because we've grown sleepy. We're not awake. We're not alert. And friends, I'm saying this to you this morning. I'm trusting. Some of you don't know me very well. Some of you have heard me say hard things like this for a long time. And I'm just trusting that by God's grace, you know that I'm speaking to you from a heart of a pastor who deeply loves his flock. But my job, do you understand this morning? My job is to stand and to tell you the truth. Because one day you are going to meet Jesus Christ face to face. And it is my job as your shepherd to make sure you are ready for that day. And if I could just come and shake some, if I could just step into some people's hearts and souls and rattle them awake, I would do it. But there's one greater than me that can do it in the split second. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. He can take the deadness of your life and in one moment bring it to life. If you would just turn to the truth, turn to Christ. There are others here today who need to hear and heed this warning. Because here's the reality. You're not living in the light. You're not living in the day. You're living in darkness. You're living in night. You're sleepy. You're drunk on the things of the world. You might even call yourself a believer this morning. But the reality is what you are professing does not match what you are living. And if what you are professing does not match what you are living, how can you call yourself a true believer? In the quietness of your thoughts, when you're all alone, some of you watching, some of you listening, some of you downstairs would have to admit that if Jesus Christ came today, you would not be ready. You wouldn't be ready because you've never repented and turned from your sins and trusted Christ to be your Savior. You're not ready because you're of the night. You're of darkness. You're not ready because you've never been brought into the light. And I'm saying that to you this morning as one who cares for the destiny of your soul and your spirit. I'm saying that to you this morning and praying that by God's grace, the Holy Spirit of God would remove the blinders from your eyes and help you to see clearly for the first time ever in your life Christ and His glory and His light, so that you would come alive and you would come awake to Jesus Christ, because in Him is life and in Him is light. Jesus died for you so that you could live in light with Him forever. Jesus took wrath for your sins so that you could be welcomed in God's presence. And you're asleep today, blinded by the darkness, and you need Christ. We're not to be surprised, and we're not to be sleepy, and He has much more counsel to give us, and we'll hear that next week. Let's stand for prayer.